clicker's on. Oh, oops, back. Go back, okay. Well, this is the new Facebook page, all right, that Larry was talking about, and Marcia and I right now will be the administrators, so anything you want posted on there, send to us, and we'll put it on there if it would be beneficial to the group. Okay, I can't go back. Can we go all the way back? There we go. Thank you. Sandy and I were so just, man, taking the outpouring of love last week. We want to thank you for all the cards and the gifts. Boy, the outpouring of God's love. You know, sometimes I watch those guys that have 3,000 people in their seats and they're watching them preach. Wow, that would be so wonderful. Last week I thought, wow, wasn't it great that the group that we have here and what the love that you showed for Sandy and I, we just really, really appreciate that. So thank you very much. Okay, the duties of love. And as I put that up there, I just want to let you know that I'm really happy for the group that's here from Bible Community. I always say it backwards one way or the other time. Glad you're here this morning. It was a privilege to be with you for 3 weeks when Pastor Greg was not able to be there. I talked to him this week and he said, you know, it's 2 hours from my house to Freeport. And then, you know, I got to get up. If I'm going to be there at 9, I'm going to have to get up. And I said, yeah, stay home. He said, okay, I will. So he did. So this morning, let us take we're going to look at just 3 verses, Hebrews chapter 13, verses 1 through 3, talking about the duties that we have if we love Jesus. Now, if you don't love Jesus, you don't have to worry about this sermon at all. It doesn't even pertain to you. You might have just heard about him. You know, but you know what? You don't love him. Because if you love him, the love that he has will go through you and will be visible to all those around you. I'm going to read some very really profound statements on love. And these, I'm not going to read all of them, but these were given by children between the ages of 4 and 8. They were asked, what is love? When my grandmother got arthritis, she couldn't bend over and paint her toenails anymore. So my grandfather does it for her all the time, even when his hands got arthritis too. That's love. That was from Rebecca, age 8. I like that one. Oh, love is when a girl puts on perfume and a boy puts on shaving cologne, and they go out and smell each other. You know, that was Carl. He's age 5, and he figured that out all by himself. I like that, Carl. Okay, love is when my mommy makes coffee for my daddy, and she takes a sip before giving it to him just to make sure it tastes good. Isn't that super? If you want to learn to love better, you should start with a friend who you hate. Whoa. How about that? That's pretty good. We need about 20,000, 30,000 of that. Nika, age 6. Love is when you tell a guy you like his shirt and he wears it every day. I like that. Oh, wears it every day. Couple more. Let's see. Mommy loves me more than anybody. You don't see anybody else kissing me goodnight, do you? That was from Claire. Love is when mommy sees daddy smelly and sweaty and still says he is handsomer than Robert Redford. Now that is love. Yeah, okay. Okay, one or two more. This is last one. The winner, this is the winner, the 4-year-old who went next door when an elderly gentleman who had just recently lost his wife. He saw the man crying. The little boy went into the old gentleman's yard, climbed up on his lap. He just sat there. When his mommy asked him what he had to say to the neighbor, he said, nothing. I just helped him cry. Probably pretty good for those little guys. As we look at this morning, the writer of Hebrews divides it up for us in 3 really easy ways, verse 1, verse 2, and verse 3. It doesn't get much easier than that. And so as we're looking, let me just read them to you and then we'll look at them. Let brotherly love continue. Hebrews chapter 13, beginning verse 1. Verse 2, do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. Remember those who are in prison, as though in prison with them, and those who are mistreated, since you are also all in the body. And so the writer is telling us here we've got three duties as we consider love. First one, let brotherly love continue. And I think I like the way he says that because it sounds to me, excuse me, that this group of Christians was loving folks. And he's saying, what you're doing, keep doing it. You know, what? And I thought, what are some of the things that we today do as Christians to show that we love one another? Well, a telephone call once in a while, how you doing? That shows love. You know, and making a pie and taking it to the pastor. I'm on a diet. That's not love. Okay, gotcha. Trick question there, right? A trick one there, right? Those little things that we do, you know, I've had a few people already say, do you need more wood for the fire over there for the s'more night? Yeah, probably a little bit, you know? And those things, those are the little things, and then there are the big things that we do one for another. We stand with them when there's a death in the family. We stand with them when there's a situation in the family and they say, they've taken it to the Lord, say, Lord, I don't know what to do. I've got this son. I've got this daughter. This has happened. And the body of Christ comes around them. Wow. And so the writer here, sometimes I'll slip and say, Paul, I believe Paul wrote Hebrews. If you don't, tough. No, you can believe that. What it doesn't say, we don't know. I read the other day that Mary Magdalene wrote it. I don't think so. But, you know, that is, well, if I slip and say, Paul, you know what I'm talking about. This love, this brotherly love, you know, the other day, I think I surprised Ruel, because I come home, he's bad in Texas, and he gets home, and he goes out to shake my hand, I give him a hug. You know, I'm a hugger and I probably shouldn't do in COVID, okay? I'm sorry, you know, but I just let brotherly love, you know, tell the brothers and sisters you love them. You know, when you're at the coffee shop, buy them coffee, you know, and whatever those little things are, they all add up. And remember, didn't I read this somewhere? If you even give somebody a cup of water in my name, it's like you're doing it to me? Wow, if I do things and not do them in a selfish way, I'm doing it to honor Christ. And so the first one is pretty simple. Let brotherly love keep on keeping on. If you're from the 60s and 70s, you remember that. Keep on keeping on. You know, that's what we got to do with our love. When does love stop? Well, you know why I don't love him? Do you know what he did last week to me? Well, that's a good reason. You bet. Cross him. Get a big pencil and cross him right off the list, or her. We get our feelings hurt, don't we? And then love doesn't continue. Did you hear the pastor? He said, oh, I may have. Cross him off. No, we don't, do we? Yeah, I have four brothers. Sometimes I go, I have four brothers, but I have all four of them. And, you know, we haven't talked since my father's funeral. Wow, what a terrible thing. What a terrible thing. I stopped at my one brother's house in Cincinnati when we were traveling just a few weeks ago, and I called my one brother in Michigan, and I texted my other one. Nothing back. You know, nobody's mad at each other. They're just not brotherly love because guess what? Some of them, I don't believe, are believers. Ooh, sad to say, grew up in a Christian home, same Baptist church I did. But when we do have those folks that we are brothers and sisters with, let brotherly love continue. Let me go on to verse 2. Hospitality. Have hospitality, but let me read it first so we get a good picture of it. All right. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers. Oh, we're outside the body of Christ, aren't we? outside the body. And we're in America, so, you know, the littlest things. You know, people today are surprised by hospitality. People are surprised. There were some folks the other day, all I did, and again, not like Nevin, not to be braggadocious, but all I did was open the door. And looked at me like, you know, and I, thank you. They were tongue-tied, you know, entertain strangers. You know, we talked to you about inviting people to think silly thing like a s'more night. You know, entertain strangers. Why? Because, get this one, some of you have done that.
There's been an angel.
You didn't even know it. Isn't that cool? I hope that I get up to heaven, when I get to heaven, one angel comes up to me and says, remember me? No, I don't remember you. Remember that time on I-75, the guy was broke down, he was out of gas, you stopped, took him to a gas station, filled up his gas tank, bought the gas, took it back and put it in there? Yeah, I remember that. That's me. Really? Why? Well, God wanted to do it. One of those things that happen, you know. I'm not saying I don't know that. I don't know if I've done that or haven't done that. But the writer, Paul, says that sometimes we have done that, haven't we? He says, remember, I'll go back to verse 2, do not neglect because, wow, some have entertained strange angels unaware. Do I have those, Zenas and Philoxenus are that, you know, strangers or guests and the love of a stranger and guest. You know, the words that are used in the Greek here, love a stranger, love of Christ. I don't love hardly anything in myself except me. Why? Because I have a wicked nature. How do I love? Only through Christ. And so the writer is saying here, hey, you guys, you ones that claim to love Jesus, love each other, love those strangers. Not only love them, but show hospitality to them. I asked Sandy yesterday, I called her Sandy, because that's her name. And I said, Sandy, I said, what are we going to do for Thanksgiving? You know, we got kids way far away, then we got kids really far away. And that's our family. The rest of our families are gone. And she said, let's do this. And you tell me if she's not quoting Hebrews 13:2. She said, let's open up our home and just say, anybody that doesn't have a place to go, come to our house for Thanksgiving dinner. Christians, non-Christians, you know, dogs, cats. We'll probably have a lot of people there. You know. And that's what the writer is talking about. Be open to do it. Be open to do it. Find ways to be doing that. Now let's go to the last one, which is kind of where we've been today in our service. It says this. Remember those who are in prison. Go to those. That's Peter down on the bottom. On the bottom, your left, my right. 14 months in the Sudan. In prison. If you want to read the story, it's in the Voices of the Martyrs magazine in the back. And it says, remember those who are in prison as though in prison with them. You've always heard that phrase, haven't we? Put yourself in their place. Are you kidding? The Barnums in the Philippines. We've heard that story, and we had the opportunity to hear Gracia at a pastor's conference a few years ago, and the story and the filth and all that happened, and imagine a man one thing, but being a lady and going through the things that ladies go through and wanting to be clean and being dirty and being kicked and being hit and for time after time after time again, you know, and put yourself in there. What that means is, as you're praying for them, ask God to let you know what's going on, how to pray for them. There's a couple missionaries I know, Bob and Jack, and they're in prison, so hey, be with them. Lord, with those that are in prison, let me know what they're going through. Let me be able to pray as I should so that you will know that I want them to be comforted by you, that I want them to be released by you if it's your will. That's one word, two words, by your will. That's three words or four, however you say it when you pray, asking the Lord's will to be done. I was just doing this not to be nasty. I wouldn't do that. Well, sometimes I kind of, a little bit. But I was listening to prayers in the last eight prayers I've heard on COVID. COVID's like being in jail. It's kind of like a prison. Those people that are in nursing homes and hospitals. I counted them, eight prayers, and guess what? Nobody said, Lord, if that's your will. Okay, well, I just said that. I'm going on. That's one of these times when you took your pen and say, well, I'm taking the pastor off my list. I heard what he said. No, don't do that. Okay, and we're here. So he says, those that are in prison, were there people in prison that time? Well, Paul had, when he was Saul, was doing it, wasn't he? Dragging them out of their homes, taking mothers, children, fathers, and persecuting them. He knew. And so when he was writing this at that time, most of the Christians that were reading this, those in the book of Hebrews was going to, the Christians, the Jewish Christians, they knew what he was talking about. They were understanding what he said when he said, boy, you need to put yourself in their place. He said, remember those. Wow. What did I have? I had some notes on that too. Yeah, I did. Well, I haven't read my notes yet today. I should look at them. Oh. Let's go to the next slide. Next. There we go. Then he says, and we're going to conclude with this. And those who are mistreated, since you also are in the body. So we know two things here, don't we? We know, number one, that there are people that aren't in prison that are being mistreated. It's kind of a separate thought here in my mind as I'm reading it. And he says they're in the body, so they're believers. Well, there are people all around us that need help. They've been, have things going on. But I was reading Dr. Newell's book, Dr. William Newell. He wrote a book in a wonderful year, 1947. All of you that remember that. I don't really remember. I was born that year. And I'll tell you this. One thing about being born, you probably all remember this. The doctor, so clearly I remember this. The doctor delivered me, held me up by my legs, and then he swatted my backside. I was so mad, I didn't talk for a year. Okay, well, I just tried to work that in. It didn't go really well. But in 1947, Dr. Newell wrote this book, Hebrews, verse by verse. It's one I was using to study. In Hebrews 13:2, and he said this, concerning loving strangers, it is not a duty, a formality, or any wise pretense. It is allowing the love of God in Christ to go through us to them without seeking some reward from their side. I'm glad he put the last part on there because, the many, many, probably me included at times, are so into, what do I get from it? Well, we need money for the homeless downtown, and, do I get a plaque? Do I get a piece of paper? You're going to put a brick in the wall that says Arch Woodstock gave. I don't care. If God touches my heart and tells me to give, I give without pretense, without wanting a reward. And so as the writer's writing this, he's saying, here we go, folks. Here. Be right with you. Okay, I'm back. Let's review real quickly and we'll go home. Number one, love should continue within the church. Shouldn't have to say that, should I? We should all every day as we're reading the Word of God and as we're praying. And as I was praying the other day, and I don't know why, Dorothy, but I was praying and Dorothy's name came to mind. My head, just in my head. I don't hear any voices. God didn't say, pray for Dorothy. But Dorothy, and so I prayed. And when he did, then he led me to Marianne, then to Karen, and then the whole back section there. I was praying for all you guys, but I didn't have it written down on a piece of paper. And then God said, hold on a second. You're going to be doing a funeral on Friday. Pray for those people you don't know. Didn't know their names. I just start praying for them. I've never seen a cuter baby in my whole life than at Geraldine's funeral. One of her great-granddaughters, right? Yeah. And I thought to myself, I want a baby. I'm going to go home and tell Sandy we need to get a baby. And then the mother picked the baby up and put the diaper to her nose. And I said, that's why I don't want a baby now. But we love one another, don't we? And we pray for each other within the church. And if we hear somebody say, you know what, so-and-so needs, they do. And we're in the body of Christ. Well, let's do it. I often, my mind goes, woo, when I'm in a deacon meeting, hasn't happened here, and somebody will say something like this. Well, Brother Bob, not that Bob, his car broke down Thursday and he's walking 8 miles back and forth to work every day. And this actually happened in one of the deacon meetings I was at. So let's pray for him. Pray what? Pray that his shoes don't wear out too? I'm always really blown away when that happens. I was at another church not too long ago, and we were in a board meeting, and somebody, one of the ladies in the church, said, single mother. No, she wasn't married at the time. Had 3 children, had a job, car broke down. You know what? Jack, one of the deacons in the church, said, well, let's buy her a new one. I mean, another car. Everybody looked at him and said, good idea. All in favor? Boop. We bought her a car, a little bitty church with, you know, very few people in the winter there. Why? Because they loved everybody in the church, and they did what they thought God wanted them to do. Number 2, love strangers. And 2 and 3 I've got backwards here, but love strangers. Show them that you, no, don't show them your love. Our love's not very good, you know. True Jesus love. Ask Sandy if she felt more loved by me when I was loving her in my own power or when I started loving her through Jesus. Guess which one? Jesus. Let's let strangers know that Jesus loves them through us. Number 3, love the suffering. Not love the suffering, love the ones that are suffering. My secretary put that up wrong. Love the ones that are suffering. Pray for them. Do what we can. If $5 today from each of us would help the Voice of the Martyrs do what they're doing, we would all rush back there and put it in there. Well, there is going to be, there's a place to put offering back there for today. And then sometimes that's what we can do. That's what we can do. And so this morning as we close this, I started by telling you how much your love was shown to Sandy and I last week. Thank you again. Continue. Couple ideas. Just a couple. I've got 1 minute. And I really don't, but Thanksgiving's coming. While we're in the store, You ever bought something for somebody in a store? Somebody that looks like they're looking because they're deciding whether they're going to be able to buy this and not have enough money to buy that? I'll tell you a little thing that you can do. I've done this a couple times. I'm behind a mother a while back and her children are there and they're this and they've got all stuff that I didn't want to eat in there. And then so the little boy said, we're in the cereal aisle. Mommy, can I have, I don't know what it was, something fruity and wonderful, you know, for a child. no, we can't. And she was just, she wasn't, no, we can't have, she was, no, honey, we can't have that. I'm behind her, put it in my basket. Right. We get through the checkout, I buy it. I said, would you put that in a separate sack? Catch up with her, oh, by the way, this is for you. Jesus loves you. Wow. She looked at me like, what? What's this? Jesus loves you. Walk away. Unless they want to continue talking. Number two, what can we do? Oh, let your light so shine before men that they will see your good works. We're called to do good works. We're not saved by good works, but we're called to do them so that God will love us and bring us in. No. So that everybody around us will see them, they'll glorify God. Wow. Let's be a people of love and good works. There's a song that we're going to sing right now. It's called, They Will Know We Are Christians by Our Love. We have the words to that? I don't know. We may sometime. There they are. We're just going to sing it one time. What a gorgeous song and what a good testimony to sing. Stand with me. This will be our benediction. We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. And we pray that all unity will one day be restored. And they'll know we are Christians by our love, by our love. Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. Oh, Father, help us to love you. And help this love to be spread through Freeport, wherever we call home, Lord, and that many would see and glorify you. We love you. We thank you for those that have come today. Lord, just bless them. Dismiss us now because you're the almighty, eternal God, the creator of the universe, and the one that holds our hand. And all God's people said, amen. Oh, you're dismissed. Have a wonderful afternoon.